Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast, Season 2, Episode 3. I'm happy to say that I'm appearing on another podcast soon. I was interviewed recently by Chris Broholm from Actual Fluency Podcast about my language learning activities and any advice for people studying during this pandemic. I'll put links to the podcast in the podcast transcription on the autodidactic.info website. In this episode, I'm going to be looking at the study habits of a great writer and autodidactic. Before I let you know his name, let me read you a quote. "Libraries raised me. I don't believe in colleges and universities. I believe in libraries because most students don't have any money. When I graduated from high school, it was during the Depression, and we had no money. I couldn't go to college, so I went to the library 3 days a week for 10 years. He is one of the most celebrated 20th and 21st century American writers, and worked in a variety of genres including fantasy, science fiction, horror, and mystery. I'm speaking of Ray Douglas Bradbury, who was born August 22, 1920, and died June 5, 2012. He was born in Waukegan, Illinois, to Esther Bradbury, a Swedish immigrant, and Leonard Bradbury, who was a telephone repair lineman. Bradbury's most famous works include Fahrenheit 451 and Something Wicked This Way Comes. Bradbury began writing his stories at age 11 in 1931, during the Great Depression, sometimes writing only on the paper available, which was butcher's paper. Bradbury was a firm believer in writing something every day. One incident, which Bradbury attributed to his lifelong habit, was in 1932 when a carnival entertainer called Mr. Electro touched the young man on the nose with an electrified sword, which made his hair stand on end, and shouted, "Live forever." Bradbury wanted to be immortalized forever through his writing. Bradbury remarked, "I felt that something strange and wonderful happened to me because of my encounter with Mr. Electro. He gave me a future. I began to write full time, and I have written every single day of my life since that day, 69 years ago." In addition to writing, Bradbury was a keen prestidigitator, which are otherwise known as a magician. As a boy, Bradbury attended several performances by Blackstone the Magician, and in 1931 was given a book on magic for his 11th birthday. He was soon performing his own magic act for various service clubs and lodges, and was invited to appear at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Hall on Christmas Eve. In high school, Bradbury was a member of the drama club and a keen actor. Bradbury married his wife in 1947, and they were married for 56 years until her death in 2003. His wife was the first and only woman he'd ever dated, and they had 4 daughters. Ray Bradbury never attained a driver's license, but relied on public transport or his bicycle. This is because Bradbury had witnessed a fatal car accident when he was 16 years old. Later he said, "I saw 6 people die horribly in an accident. I walked home holding on to the walls and the trees. It took me months to begin to function again, so I don't drive. But whether I drive or not is irrelevant. The automobile is the most dangerous weapon in our society. Cars kill more than wars do." Bradbury was also a supporter of public library systems, raising money to prevent closure of several libraries in California facing budgetary cuts. He said, "Libraries raised me and shunned colleges and universities," comparing his own lack of funds during the Depression with poor contemporary students. Bradbury permitted the publication of Fahrenheit 451 in electronic form, provided that the publisher, Simon & Schuster, allowed the e-book to be digitally downloaded by library patrons. This title remains the only book in Simon & Schuster catalog where this is possible. It took Bradbury just 9 days to write Fahrenheit 451, and he did it in the basement of the UCLA library on a rented typewriter. The title of his novel, by the way, comes from the temperature at which paper burns without being exposed to flame. Bradbury remained an enthusiastic playwright all of his life, leaving a rich theatrical legacy as well as literary. Bradbury headed the Pentamonium Theater Company in Los Angeles for many years, and had a 5-year relationship with the Friedmont Center Theater in South Pasadena. Not only was Bradbury highly creative with language, he was also an exceptional visual artist. He would use his basement office as a studio for doodling, sketching, and painting. He once said when he died he planned to have his ashes placed in a tomato soup can and planted on Mars. A more fitting memorial is the one that NASA gave him when they landed the rover on Mars a few months after Ray Bradbury's death in 2012. They named the site where Mars Curiosity touched down as Bradbury Landing. So what can we take away from Ray Bradbury that would help us as autodidactics? Well, the first and most obvious is the use of libraries and reading. He was at a library 3 days a week for 10 years, so even if he spent only an hour or two, he would have invested 520 to 1,040 hours of time in the library. But from other statements he made while doing fundraising for libraries, we can see that he invested a lot more time than that. He said, "I read everything in the library. I read everything. I took out 10 books a week so that I had a couple of hundred books a year to read on literature, poetry, plays, and I read all of the great short stories, hundreds of them. I graduated from the library when I was 28 years old. That library educated me, not college." So Bradbury, in 10 years that he invested the time in the library, he read about 5,200 books. And you can see from this quote that he was investing that time focused on his primary interest, which was writing and theater. Earl Nightingale said many years ago that 1 hour a day of study in your chosen field was all it takes. 1 hour study per day will put you at the top of your field within 3 years. Within 5 years, you'll be a national authority, and in 7 years, you'll be one of the best people in the world at what you do. Bradbury did it for 10 years, and for more than an hour. To paraphrase self-help guru Brian Tracy, read all you can about in your field. Subscribe to executive book clubs, book summaries, build your own library of important books in your field, and never be cheap about your education. If you read 1 hour per day in your field, that will translate into one book a week, and one book a week is 50 books a year. As autodidactics, much of our primary focus will be on using books for learning. Even if you're learning a more physical skill, such as sailing or painting, there are numerous books written by professionals in your area of interest. If your interest is more academic, then library shelves are filled with things you need. Where I live, the library provides an online catalog of all their books, not just in my local library, but all the libraries run within the district I live in. They allow me to place an order for any book in any of the 75 libraries under their control, and they'll deliver it to my local library for me to walk up and pick the book up. And while not every library provides this type of service, it is certainly worth investigating what's available to you at your local library. Libraries contain not only books for study, but also audiovisual works as well, so if you're learning a language, there's a good chance you can pick up some courses at the library with audio included. Now, another thing we can take away from Ray Bradbury is the concept of synergistic learning. And I don't mean some sort of New Age buzzword, but rather knowledge gained in pursuit of one area often has application in others. So Bradbury introduced the concept of magic and mystery into many of his stories, and he used the plays and poems he'd read to give his writing a more lyrical feel. And he applied his writing to different areas as well. In fact, Ray Bradbury's first pay as a writer was for a joke that he sold to comedian George Burns. Being an autodidactic typically means that you're going to be learning about more than one subject. And these topics of interest can spread over widely divergent sets of things, but they can be related. Synergistic learning is simply looking at your various topics of interest and seeing if there's any common ground. And if there is, you can focus on that area of common ground and gain knowledge in two interests, not just the one. For example, many topics need a good knowledge of mathematics. Often we think of self-study as being simply sat at a desk with a textbook. While this is valid, it isn't the only thing that you should be doing. If you're interested in nutritional science, for example, you shouldn't just read textbooks. You should also read websites, government guidelines, Weight Watchers magazines, cookbooks, watch YouTube channel, cooking channels, Read about agricultural techniques, gardening books, wine and food magazines, etc. So don't narrow your focus too much and try to keep an open approach. You can focus when you start to get overwhelmed with information, but having a wider general knowledge of the topic will benefit you when you narrow your focus as well. Well, that's all for me this week. If you enjoy the show, please give me a rating on the platform that you're using to listen to this podcast, and please share the podcast with friends and family who might be interested. Also, let me know if you find these explorations into the methods used by autodidactics useful, and if there's someone in particular you'd like me to research, let me know. As always, you can leave feedback on the autodidactic.info website, or send me an email to rick@autodidactic.info. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.